Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney to Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. Wow, what a week. What a week we had. But before we get into that, I want to wish all the mothers a happy, happy Mother's Day. And make sure your children go out and do something for you. Even if they can make you something, make sure that you have your children do something for you. And don't be shy. Call them and tell them, hey, it's Mother's Day. I haven't received that call from you. But even the little bitty ones, now you got to start with the little bitty ones. You got to get them into learning how to appreciate you as a mother. See, I'm not a mother, and I can imagine being a mother is an extremely hard job. Because one of the things I always expect my wife to do was take care of the children. And I think that's important. That's what we have to do. We have to take care of our children, you see. And that way, we wouldn't have what we have today. And I know I'm always talking about, what's really going on. I talked about that 3% of the 50 million black people were ghettoish. Only 3%. Then I had to increase that to 5%. Then I had to increase it once again to 10%. That's right. 10% of 50 million black folks are ghettoish. They are. Let's face the fact. But then I had to increase it once again to 15%. I'm simply saying that we're teaching our children to be ghettoish. You see, doing drive-by shootings and thinking it's okay, packing guns into our homes while you're sleeping and you don't have a check and balance system. We have to make sure we are doing what we're supposed to do to protect not only our present children, but their children, you see. That's what's important. You know, they're making us very ghettoish people, and they want it that way. See, all these immigrants that's coming in, I got to confess, you know, they have a plan for these immigrants. They have a plan for them. They have a plan for them. You know, this country is smart enough to know how to keep these immigrants out of here if they wanted to. They have a plan, and what they're doing, they're executing their plan, and I believe what they're trying to do, figure out a way how they can eliminate black folks, even though we are 50 million strong. You see, I think what they're doing is trying to figure out a way, you know, and I'm not against the immigrants that are coming here. I'm not, you see. But I think there's a plan that's in operation that affects us, black folks. That's my thought. And then here's the thing. I don't have to be right, you see. I don't have to be, you know, if I'm wrong, you can tell me. You can hit me up on Facebook. You can hit me up on Blog Talk. You can hit me up wherever you want. I'm wrong. Maybe I'm looking at this from a different point of view, you know, that normal people don't look at things. But what I see, they came here, they provided a place for them, and yet we have so many homeless people, and they're not providing a place for them. You see, I got a problem with that, you see. I think that you can do whatever you want to do. This country can do, you see. They know who they're going to take care of, and they know who they are not going to take care of. So they're bringing in, I'm believing, and it's me talking, some cheap labor. They're going to be building and building and building. This is what they're going to do, you see. Let me ask you, here's the question of the day. What would America look like without racism? What if there was no racism here in these United States of America? What if there was no racism in the world today, you see? So the question is, what would America look like without racism, you see? And don't think that they can't control it. They could if they really wanted to. But they want it like this way so we can keep fighting with each other. That way they don't have to do any fighting, you see. This is a very, very racist country. I live in Berrien County, Michigan. And I tell you, if there's a place in the South more racist in Berrien County, Michigan, I don't want to go there. I witnessed something on Monday that really shocked me. It really threw me for a loop. Three white women that basically has nothing to do with Benton Harbor made a decision on a recall petition that the word was not clear, which was the biggest lie. And they're going to get away with it because black folks ain't going to stand up and fight for nothing. They'll fight each other. They got black folks thinking that black folks is the real enemy rather than looking at reality and telling the truth. Now, these three white devils got up there. The question was, this guy, Trenton Bourne, a low-life scumbag, vote yes or no to replace the border. That's all they had to consider. They didn't have to consider nothing else. But these white devils always find a way. They always find a way to attack black people, call black people a liar. You see, I got up there, I told them, I gave them a tongue lashing. They'll never forget. I told them hell would be their home. You know, these white devils, they was up there, and they thought they were gonna get away that nobody knew, about recall. I was glad to be there, so I can explain to them their only job was to say whether he voted yes or no to replace the border. It was a no-brainer. It was simple and easy. But they always think black people are too dumb to know anything. Most of the time, black people ain't going to speak up when it's white folks. You know, they scared of white folks. That's why they out here shooting, doing drive-by shooting, not killing little babies. And then they act like that's supposed to make them gangsters. That's what that's all about. See, doing a drive-by shooting is a cowardly act. You see, but they got us thinking that it's a gangster act. Well, they ain't got me thinking, but they got some of the people thinking that this is a gangsterous act. There's no gangsterous act on this at all, none, not one bit. There's nothing about this is gangsterous, nothing. And that's the truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God, there's nothing gangsterous about doing a drive-by shoot. It's a cowardly, cowardly, cowardly act. That's what it is, you see. But racism has got us where we at today. It is. Black folks even want to be like these white devils. They want to be just like them. You know, rather than out here building a future for our children, what we're doing, we're out here trying to be like these devils, and they don't like you. You know, and I will say this. I remember when I was in prison, this lady wrote me a letter, and she said, she apologized for me, but, you know, I'm in prison now, you know. You could have came out sooner and said something, but I know you was intimidated. But she said this. She said 67% of the white people that lived in Barron County are racist. And she said the other 33% is good people, but they're afraid. They're afraid that these 67% is going to come after them. You see, 67% of them are racist. 67. So here's my question. They're so racist that they think that they can say and do anything to people and get away with it. The court system, for years, that destroyed so many black lives, you know, and gotten away with it. I was fortunate because I could handle them white devils. Oh, they're coming. Oh, that's their job. They're coming. They don't like to be defeated. And I tear their butts up. I tear them up every time. And I'm going to tear them up some more if necessary. Oh, it's coming, you know, because they, you know, they're never going to let a black man body slam them. And I body slammed Barron County, and it's Sharon Tyler. She's the clerk in Barron County Courthouse. She's a liar. We caught her in so many lies, but my attorney, the problem was that his son had molested a child, so he called himself giving me up, you know. But I didn't mind, because I got a chance to actually talk to people who actually had like minds, who really wanted to do something but didn't know what to do. That's what we were dealing with. We were dealing with things like that. So my question to each and every one of you, what would America look like without racism? What would it look like? Give me a chance to think about that for a second before I bring in my first guest. What would America look like if it was no racism? How would you act? How would you feel that there was no racism? What if the playing field was leveled? How would you feel? You see, what would you do different? How would our children be better? The educational system would be, because you have the same amount of dollars as in one of the elite schools. That would help. But then again, we get the money, and we have a history of dividing it up among our friends and excluding our children. You see, when I say this, which I think is so important, this guy Trenton Bourne, y'all might know him. He's a scumbag. He's like a Marcus Muhammad. He's a scumbag. All these scumbags get together. See, scumbags hang together, you see. That's how they do. They flock together. And this is what this guy turned to. And they was trying to, unfortunately, Sharon Tyler was trying to, I don't know what she was trying to say, which is the stupidest thing. Oh, it's not clear. How could it not be clear? Either he voted yes or no. Anybody could understand that, you know. Anybody. But the point is, they are in power. We don't even know how much power we have. We allow these people to do this to us and get away with it. Her saying the language wasn't clear, then they used the news media to say the language was. How could the language not be clear? You know, it's about as clear as a person can get. They don't live in Benton Harbor. They're not going to be voting on this. You know, you're dealing with a different group of people than what you're accustomed to. This is what it's all about. Black folks, get yourself together and stop all this madness. It's unfortunate. See, we must outwork this evil empire. You got to outwork them. Outworking them. Do not stop outworking the evil empire. These white devils, you know, You see, the system itself, what it does, now listen to me closely. What it does, they work together against you and use some of your people to help them defeat you. You see, what if someone was at that recall hearing and they knew that these people was lying and they started shooting and killing these folks? Then they would say these people, the one who did the shooting was the bad person. But that's not true. These are the bad people, the one who called himself making this decision, which they knew they was lying. So my question is, what if there was a person who was willing to make the sacrifice for the future of our children? When they said that it wasn't clear and you knew they was lying, and you opened up on them. Now, you wouldn't be a bad person. You'll be a hero. Because somewhere we got to stop. You know, this goes on and on and on and on. You know, and it's unfortunate, you know. I understand, my brothers and sisters, that as a people that has been traumatized for over 450 years, we had abuse, mistreatment, torture. We've been harmed continuously. And here's the thing that most people don't understand. You never hear white folks going to jail or prison for hanging a black person. And the reason is that we was only considered to be property. See, you can't send them, what you going to give somebody the death penalty for destroying property? Even if the property belongs to somebody else. But we don't get it. We as black folks just don't get it. You see, we're at war. The problem is we're not fighting. Can you imagine for 450 years being traumatized how they sexually raped our women, our men, and our children and got away with it? You can't send them to jail for raping property. That's what they did. They raped property and got away with it. They don't want to talk about it. That's why you know, that critical race theory, they don't want you to know all the bad things that they have done. They have done so many bad things that they don't want their children to know that these are some of the bad things their forefathers did. They don't even want to talk about that. Black folks don't even want to talk about that. Black people are so busy kissing up to them. It's a shame, you know. I think for a city as small as Benton Harbor, we have more buck kissers here per capita than probably anywhere else, led by this mayor, this Muslim mayor. Minister Farragut had his 90th birthday. For his birthday, he should slap this boy and just slap him straight down, this Marcus Muhammad. He should slap him, and slap him some more. But what he have done, he had destroyed the Nation of Islam. You know, they should have known. I'm originally from Chicago, and I got to say this. I never known the Nation to have someone who act like this. They may have been undercover, but they never would ever come out like this boy had. Never. They never would have been doing what he's doing, how he's destroying the people of Benton Harbor. Never. That would never, never happen. That's why I had so much love and respect for the Nation, because they took care of each other. They took care of black folks. And they were business-minded. They were business-minded. And now we got this Sambo, buck kisser, bootlicker, buck dancing, Muslim brother, and he got a group of followers that's just like him. Just like him. They're like twins, triplets. He hang with these people, you know. And it's unfortunate that you guys even accept these guys back in our community. Do you realize how much damage they have done to our people? You see, I mean, there's nothing worse than a sample. Guilt is too good for a sample, you see. I remember this. It was an alderman who was a sellout. He was a straight up sellout. They killed him. And they sent a message to every single black person in the city of Chicago. They sent a message to them telling them, this is the result when you sell us out like this. See, if he was in Chicago, he'd be face down in the alley somewhere. That's Marcus Muhammad. He would be face down in the alley. But people in Benton Harbor don't have no backbone. They don't have no spinal cord. They, you know, most of them, probably about 99% of them don't. You see, they don't have no backbone. They don't have no spinal cord. They don't have anything that would get out here and say, well, hey, this stuff. Just like that Sharon Tyler situation. See, that's a serious issue. See, but black folks used to be like that, you know. But if she was in Chicago, they'll find a way to get her. They'll get her butt. They would. You know, here these guys, they got these people scared. They scared of their own shadow, you know. When they see their shadow, they just start running. Throwing cowards, that's what they do. But anytime you beg another man to set you free, you will never be free. If you can't take it, you're not going to get it. See, they're arming themselves. And what we're doing, we're running out of bullets. We're finding, you know, if a war ever break out, we'll be out of bullets. We won't have no bullets. We're too busy using them up on ourselves, on our neighbor, our cousins, the people around the corner, down the street. But, yeah, we got a lot of work to do. Black folks, we have a lot of work to do, and we are going to have to do it, whether we like it or not. You know, I don't condone violence, but sometimes violence might be in demand. You see, I think that has been one of the problems. We're too busy shooting up each other rather than shooting the enemy. We don't even know who the enemy is. Your neighbor next door is not your enemy. Your neighbor down the street is not your enemy. You know, your enemy is the one who got that foot up your butt, lying, cheating, and stealing from you. You see, these are evil, evil, wicked people. But let me end this on a good note. I had the opportunity to go to New York. And I had the chance, well, before that, I had a chance to speak at the United Nations, which was so huge, you know. I mean, it was huge. I mean, that, you know, you're talking to 64 leaders, you see, from around the world. And you're telling your story. And what made it so, so amazing, they actually listened. And when I got through, they gave me a standing ovation. It was just so excited. I was excited. I have to be honest with you. I was excited that people would actually, from other countries, want to hear the Reverend Pinckney's story. I mean, it's a great story, you see, if you tell it correctly, you know. Anytime that you're talking about someone being sent to prison when there was no crime committed, and you get about 9 to 10 judges to say that there was no constitutional violation but sending someone to prison, then there's a problem. there's a problem in this country. I wanted the people to know that this country is full of racists. It's not the home of the brave. I even talk about after what they have done to the T.I. I talked about that, you know. I've talked about that. You know, I'm trying to give the T.I.s a platform, but they won't accept it. You see, I know how they fight among themselves. I've been knowing them for years. But I wanted to give them something, give the whole world something that they can hang their hats on. You see, and the most fortunate thing that happened was they actually called me, a member from the nation. United Nations called me and actually want to speak with me. That is true. I'm willing to do it, but I'm not willing to spend my money to go meet with you. If you fly, give me a plane, fly it in, I'll even be on that plane, I promise you. You know, it could be a one-way trip, but the point is, somebody got to tell the truth. This is one of the most racist countries there is in the whole wide world. And then I go on to Cornell University, one of the most prestigious colleges in the nation. Gave a rowling speech. I mean, we were there, my wife, myself, I've got to say this. I have not one single complaint about that trip. None. The only thing I didn't like, they fed me too much. They fed me and my wife too much food. We don't eat like that, you know. So next trip, when I go to Princeton, you tell them right off the bat, we are not eating like that. We don't eat like that. You know, and I appreciate the thought of all the fan food. Everything was good. And that's the way when you're out here on a trip, that's the way things are supposed to be, you know. But here's the good news. We can win this war if we work together. You know, we got to get rid of all these Sambos. We got to get rid of them bootlickers. We got to get rid of them buck kissers. We got to get rid of them buck dancing Negroes. We got to get rid of them. Whether they're your brother, your sister, your cousin, whoever they may be, we got to get rid of them. They're expendable in order to make this thing happen, not only for today, but the future of our children. See, that's what's at stake. The future of our children, that is what's at stake today. We don't sit down and plan. See, they plan for 10, 15, 20 years ahead. We plan for today and pray for tomorrow. That's the difference. We plan for today and we pray for tomorrow. But anyway, the trip was tremendous. That's why I didn't have a show last week. It was huge. It really expanded horizons. And I got a chance to talk about, I think I'm going to have to take on this mission without the TIs. I'm going to have to talk about TIs without them because I want to make sure that they have a voice. But it's been very, very difficult to get them to do anything. But even Derek, I love him, but I asked him to come on right before so we can do something so I can I can lay out what I want to speak about when I get there. But he never showed up. He never came. But on that note, I'm going to bring in my very, very good friend, the one and only, the man of the hour, my guy. When I say my guy, I mean exactly that he's my guy. And what we want to do, what I want to talk about with him, I want to talk about I'm going to talk about whatever he wants to talk about, you know. I do a lot of talking, but I want to hear what other people got to say. I want to hear what other people want to do. I want to do things that's going to help everybody get to that next level. On that note, I'm bringing my good friend Malat. Malat, this is Reverend Pinkin, and I want to tell you to wish your wife a happy Mother's Day and talk to me. Talk to me about what is really going on. What is going on, Malat? Talk to me. Tell me the story.
How you doing, Pastor Pinkney? Shalom,
hey,
everybody out there.
And
talk
to me.
We got Elder Jerome on, too.
Our Elder
hey,
Jerome,
Shalom.
My brother.
Shalom.
All right, tell your loved one happy Mother's Day because it's going down.
Shalom, Pastor Pinkney.
On
all
this
right.
side, day is every day. We not in the in this corrupt system's plan, you know. So I like
yeah.
to say happy Father's Day to you. Because happy
Amen.
Mother's Day and Father's Day every day. So
Amen.
So we don't
mm-hmm.
we don't
well,
follow
I like that. I like you saying stuff like that, you know. Because, you know,
happy
it's
Father's
a real thing.
Yeah, we rebelling against this system, man. This system
yeah.
is so corrupt. And then, you know, like while people was out here celebrating their mothers, it's a god that they actually worshiping, right? Which her name is Esther, and they doing witchcraft and all this stuff behind it, and everybody putting all this energy into saying that they worshiping their mother, but you really worshiping the devil worshiper's mother. You know what I mean? And so these are things that we really start doing research on. Ain't none of these holidays that they come up with, everything got something to do with wickedness and evilness. All you got to look up, go online right now, type in the origin of Mother's Day. It's going to be an orgy, some killing, some sacrificing, and some praising Satan. That's what it's going to be about. So that's why, you know, we don't celebrate nothing that they do. And this is the so-called black people's problem. We keep following them. Why do we keep following them?
Hey, black folks want to be just like these devils. They want to be just like them. They want to be accepted by the devil. That's what they black people want to do. They want to be accepted by the devil. Because that's what these folks are. They know these people are evil and wicked.
Every little thing. They come up with, we follow them on Christmas, Thanksgiving, this. Man, all of this stuff, if you look it up, man, it's all to worship their gods. And we're not following none of that stuff. The Bible say don't follow traditions of man. Those are man traditions. So we don't do it. I celebrate my wife for happy Mother's Day every day. You know what I'm saying?
There you go.
And
there you go.
We ain't got to just have one day. Some people are so programmed, Pastor Pinkney, they only seeing their mama and taking them out, buying them flowers on Mother's Day. That's it.
Yeah.
That's our program for. Why you don't do it all the time?
That's right. Every chance you get.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So we not a part of that system. But you did bring out a great question. Ooh, I would love to answer this question. I want Elder Jerome to answer this question. What would the world be without racism? What do you think, Elder Jerome?
The world without racism would be exactly, and I'm just coming from my point of view, the world without racism would be exactly what the scriptures describe in detail as what the kingdom is going to be like. Is what us going to our land is going to be like. That's what it's going to be like. Because until we get to that kind of a point, it's going to remain a hell. You know, you hear people saying that, oh, well, you're going to always have racism. You're always going to have. Well, no, we're not. Not according to the scriptures.
Yeah.
You know.
Right.
So that's you know, I mean, I just think the solution, the ultimate solution, like you say, we got to come together, but we got to come together under a plan.
Yes.
And the plan has actually been laid out. It's a divine plan that's already been laid out. We just got to get a little more disciplined and a little more obedient.
Wow.
And then we'll actually know what the world can be like without racism.
Let me say this before you cut in on that, Jerome. That was powerful, because you say if we get in our racism, America would be different, or the whole world would be different. It'd be more like the Bible. It'd be more biblical. Wow.
I didn't think
on that level myself, but that is huge. And I'm saying this because my man, I mean, you blew my mind. I mean, there it is. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing. We got black people who actually want to be, they want to be like white folks, but they want to throw racism so they can say they've been racist against black folks. You know, we did this, I went to the governor mansion. I went to the White House. Like I told them, you know, they invited me to the White House. If you're not sending Air Force One, ain't no reason for me to come. You're not putting me up in the White House. Ain't no reason for me to come. I said, and I'm not going to speak. There's not a reason in this world I should be coming to the White House. I'm not coming there to shake your hand. I don't know.
Right.
If you ain't got your checkbook and ready to write that check, it's going down. That's all I can tell you. Anyway, let Malak talk to me.
Okay, so now on this particular point, right, now we see if it was no racism, we would be running the earth just straight up.
Yeah.
And I see why on they side, they trying to hold us down, because we are too talented, we too strong, we too spiritual. The Most High gave us so many gifts that other nations don't have. We would be running the earth. It'll be just like the Dark Ages when we were the kings and queens of everything. You know what I mean? And we would actually run the earth. They know that. This is why we got all of these pit holes that they digging all these holes and building all these walls. And man, we'd have took off. Just imagine if a Black Wall Street wouldn't have failed from racism. Mm. Oh my goodness, where would we be right now?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We the only nation.
Remember that was before we had senators and house members and all this. And they ran them all out of town. We ran towns and everything. They're the most violent people there is in the whole wide world. They attack folks, especially when they have the ups on them. It's more of them. They have guns, they have weapons, and that's how they control everything. You see, that's why I tell you, they're just evil, 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 evil and wicked. That's the bottom line.
And one thing about our people, even though they didn't held us back and did all this stuff to us, we still not racist. We're not racist.
No.
We're not plotting on how to destroy your family from generation to generation to generation. We're not taking your children and making them slaves and taking them away from their lineage and their God and destroying them from children. We're not doing none of that. They doing it to us because they know how powerful we are, right?
Mm-hmm.
Pastor Finney, did you hear about that homeless man getting choked out by that white dude?
On the train, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Talk to me about that.
So he choked the dude out, and this is a homeless man. Everybody, like, he was, you know, imitating Michael Jackson and all this stuff, right? And so he's an ex-military, so he gets over there and starts choking the dude out and kills him, right? So now they arrest him for manslaughter, right? And they said, this is what the article says. Elder, do you got that article in your, I'll text it to you. Read that picture. In your text message.
Oh, yeah. Let me get my glasses. Hold on.
Get them.
Right here is ridiculous, Pastor Pinckney. This is them standing for what they stand for, and our people ain't standing for. We got to stand for something. We got to start coming together. Look how they came together for this dude. Watch this.
So yeah, it says hashtag unapologetic, right? It says in the Jordan Neely death, Marine veteran Daniel Penny's attorneys raised more than $1 million for legal defense. It says $1 million was raised in 48 hours for this killer. 23,000 donors, $1,100.
No,
raised,
$1,100
was raised every minute. Donations overwhelmed the platform. He's being called a hero for killing an unarmed black youth. These are the Caucasians who marched in the George Floyd Black Lives Matter protest 3 years ago. When will we ever learn?
All right, now do you see this? In 48 hours, they raised $1 million. Man, he said money was coming $1,100 every minute. Every minute. And they saying this dude is a hero for killing an unarmed black person. And you try to tell me, man, that's how in your mind, they got like a wickedness, and I ain't saying all, but whoever, the people who condone this type of actions, man, I'm trying to tell you, y'all got some screws loose. Y'all evil in the heart and in the soul, right? How could you think that a homeless man deserved to die and then this man going to be called a hero because he killed him? That's unbelievable.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know what? This is just the world we live in. See, and the sad part of that, black folks accept it. They accept it. They accept, you know, the white folks say he's a hero, then he's a hero, according to black people. You'd be surprised how black people keep repeating what white folks say and what they do. We don't see, we just don't get it. You know, we don't understand that they have a movement against us. The movement is against black people. And what they're trying to do is circle the wagon so all these white folks can get on board, all the evil ones. Now I got to say this, there's some good white people. There's some good ones. Just like I said earlier in the show, when I was in prison, this lady said that she wrote me a letter, and she said 67% of the white folks was evil and wicked and racist. But she said there was 33%. I think it's more like maybe 10 or 15%. But she said 33% was good people. What you're witnessing, we're watching what they're doing, and they're doing what they do. They know, see, they have a plan. They have a playbook that they use. And they use it every chance they get. And this is just another paragraph from that book. That's what it is.
But see, this is the thing, though. Okay, so the ones that say that they not racist, I'm talking to y'all right now. If you not racist, why are you not on a platform trying to expose the ones who are racist? You know who's racist. You know that dude that's a police officer is racist. And you're not putting him on the front line. He need to be exposed because he's going out with the mindset that I'm going to kill a black person or this black person here or a jigaboo. And you're not saying anything. This still makes you racist too because you're keeping your mouth closed. Now, if you really are 33% and you're not racist, then you need to be speaking out. And you need to be exposing all your friends and family members for being evil. It's evil against good. So if you good, be good. Go against evil. That's what me and Pastor Pinkman and Elder Jerome is doing right now. We going against evil. And a lot of the evilness is coming from that side, not our side. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So we have no choice but to say the white man. We have no choice but to say that because all we see is evilness coming from that side. But if you're white and you know that you ain't post that these things are going on, start exposing people. If you know that you got a great-great-great-great-grandfather or uncle or a friend and he was hanging black people, call the police. Have him arrested.
There you go.
These people they still alive.
Right.
And they ain't doing nothing. This was murder. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So
it was murder. All he got was manslaughter. You know, chances are he may not get no jail time because white folks sympathize with that. See, here's the difference between a black person and a white person here in the United States that people don't know. You could be an innocent black person, and you go to trial, and you most likely you're going to have an all-white jury, and they don't have to produce evidence because the judge even said, we don't need evidence, and they'll find you guilty. But here's the other shoe. A white person can go in a trial and be as guilty as hell. And they find him not guilty. It all depends on who's the person. Especially if they have did it to a black person. See, the reason why all these white cops still get away with killing black people, they don't look at black people as human beings. They look at us as property. You know, and that's the whole thing. We don't even look at each other as human beings. You know, we're doing a drive-by shooting, killing a little 9-year-old baby, killing a 2-year-old baby. You know, and my thing is this. We have to make sure we're doing what we're supposed to do for the future of our children. Nothing else is more important than that. You know, we got to look ahead and deal with these people. If we don't look ahead, we're going to be looking behind, and they're going to overtake us.
And then, just to that, too, they still responsible for that, too. They the ones putting guns in our community, driving up. I'm from Compton. They would drive up with a truck, had a truck open, and ain't nothing but guns, grenades, rocket launchers, everything, and everybody just grabbing something. You feel what I'm saying? So this is what they do. This is what they do. They flood our communities with drugs so we can try to kill each other so the other person can sell poison to his own people. Yeah, we responsible for selling. Our people is responsible for selling the poison, but they're responsible for giving us the poison. They're responsible for giving us the guns and giving us the bullets, right? And they are responsible, even though I hear white people say this all the time. Well, I didn't put you in slavery. Okay, you didn't, but your ancestors did, and you benefited from it, and you still benefiting from it. And this is why you're going to be responsible. And this is why the Most High is saying in this verse, this is Exodus 33:15. He says, if the wicked restore the pledge, give again that he have robbed, walk in the statutes of life without committing iniquity, he will surely live and not die. This is the Most High telling you straight up, like, look, everything that y'all done did to my people, if y'all would really repent and give back what you robbed, right, which is almost impossible from what y'all took from our people, right?
Mm-hmm.
$5 million, that really doesn't justify what you took from my people. You know what I'm saying? You can give us all $5 million. You can give us all $2 billion a piece, and it still wouldn't add up to what we lost, what y'all took from us, right? But he said, if you would just try to restore the pledge, he would let y'all live. But the Most High is coming back, and he coming back to destroy the wicked, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the wicked people who are corrupting and destroying this earth. And you are going to be responsible because your people was doing it. You can't stand by and say, well, I ain't doing it. That was them. He's looking at the nation. It's a whole nation about to be destroyed right now.
Right.
Be real.
Yeah.
The white people in the Bible is called Esau. This is the only people in the Bible that the Most High said he hated.
Mm-hmm.
And we can
mm-hmm.
look around in the earth and see why. He looked to the future. Y'all was going to be destroying oceans, trees, people, his people, every land, every place, stealing gold, doing this. He hated y'all.
Mm-hmm. Because he knew who they were. God knew who these people were. He knew who they were. He knew that they was going to be evil, wicked, and everything else. But yet and still, we still got black folks still trying to be just like these devils. We got them. Want to be just like them. Want to do what they do. Anytime that you hammering black folks for any reason, for no reason, and you think it's all right because you get to ride around in a nice car, you know. And I tell you, all this stuff comes back to hunt these folks. Everything that they do is just like you read. Their day is going to come. But we have to make sure we're doing what we're supposed to do. And I said this. I started off with that 3%. Of our black brothers and sisters was not only ghettoish, but they, part of the problem. Then I had to go up. I had to keep going up. And every time I go places and see things, I keep raising it up because it looked to me, they planned it this way. They figured that we could destroy ourselves if they keep that pressure on us. And that's what it appears to happen every single day, you see. And if they can find a way to belittle us, destroyer, they will. They will lie, cheat, steal, and kill. That's what these devils do. They lie, they cheat, they steal. They do everything they can to neutralize you because they know that you don't have a weapon. Matter of fact, they have made being black a weapon against blacks. You know, that's what they have done. They have made black folks a weapon against each other. We're a weapon against each other. Wow. I'm telling you.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So restore the pledge. Restore the pledge. That's all I'm going to say. Restore the pledge. That means that all the money, if you rich right now and you got it from inheritance, you need to give that money to the nearest black person that you see. Give that money to them because it don't belong to you. That's blood money. That money came from, and it was passed down from generation to generation to generation. And now you got it. If you got plantations, houses that your grandparents had, and you know that they had slaves on it, you need to give that house to the nearest black person that you see. This is how you make it into the kingdom. If you ain't doing that, you might as well get ready because it's slaughter time. When Christ come back, it's going down. And he going to be a black man with an afro. I'm sorry to tell you. He gonna be a black man with an afro, and he coming back with a sword, and he not playing, and he gonna sprinkle blood all over his garment, and that's just what it is. He coming back to save his people.
And you know what? That is so important that people need to know. See, if they read the book, the Bible themselves, all they have to do is read the book of Revelation. That's why they were telling people was afraid to read. The book of ministers and everybody. You never hear that many preachers preaching on the book of Revelation. You know, I don't care. You know, you can go on the internet. Very few ministers preach about Revelation. And here's the reason is they've been taught not to do it. You see, they've been taught not, don't read where you guys win. You see, don't read that part where you all the hell you've been through. You guys win. Don't read that. We don't want y'all reading that. That's dangerous. And black folks follow suit. You can go to church for 20 years and never hear a preacher preach about Revelation from the book of Revelation. You ain't gonna hear.
They scared of
not these Baptists, not these Kojis, not none of these folks.
Mm-hmm. The vaccines was in the Bible. We did it on this show one day. The vaccines was in the Bible. I was trying to stop y'all from taking the vaccine because these people got a diabolical plan to destroy God's people. People didn't listen. They took the vaccine, and now everybody that took the vaccine, they're getting sick. Some people didn't die. They feel they memory leaving. They moving the same way they used to move, and they all regret it. They all regret it. We can't put our trust in man. We got to put our trust in the Most High. If you ain't putting your trust in the Most High, you might as well get ready to die. That's just it. Get ready to die if you ain't got your trust in the Most High. That's it.
There you go. And we got to. And let me go back to the question. You know, what if there was no racism? Period. Because that's just another tool in their toolbox that they use against us, and they have put us in a position where now black folks think it's okay. Racism is all right. You know, we always going to have racism. That's the language that they use. You know, but, you know, that's not true. You know, when Jesus come back, he going to come back strong. There will be no such thing as racism. And all these devils, they're going to get. And here's the thing. A lot of times what they try to do, they try, oh, I'm not racist, you know. I got two, three black friends. You know, and you hear that from these folks. I mean, what is they talking about? You know, it's in you. The racism is in some of you, you know. But we have to make sure that we're doing everything that we need to do. Well, listen, guys, we just about ran out of time. I want you to have the final word and tell me what you want us to know. Because I tell you, you're one of the most powerful brothers. You and Jerome, I have ever met in my life, and I'm so proud to know people like you guys and willing to stand up because we don't have many, you know, we don't have many, but we got enough to win this war. On that note, talk to me about whatever you want.
All right. It's always an honor being on the show. You are my biggest mentor, Pastor Pinckney. I always watch you. I respect you. Everything that you do, man, I apply it to myself. To make myself stronger, because I'm a little young, but coming up, trying to save my people, and I watch you and I get strength. So I thank you for everything that you do, and continue to do for our people. I want to say this. Everybody needs to start getting ready because the currency could change at any minute. It's all over the news that they're trying to make everything digital, and that's a whole nother conversation that we probably need to have about what would happen if the money turns into a digital currency instead of the dollar bill. And so we need to all be aware and keep our eyes open because we could wake up in the morning and everything will change.
Yeah.
You can't go to your bank account no more. You can't go to the grocery store no more. And this gives them the power to do what they want to do to us. But that's going to be another conversation. I think we'll talk about that another day. But all praise to the Most High. We are the chosen people, the Israelites of the Bible. Remember that. All praise to the Most High.
Amen. Amen. Jerome, did you want to say something real fast?
Well, yeah, I just wanted to follow up the last statement that Balak just made. We are the children of Israel. We are the people of the Bible. And you made a statement earlier when you opened the show about the real deal is that they are coming after black people in this country. That's the real thing. And so we saw a clip of the Israeli consul, Judith Shorer, in Atlanta, stating that the major problem with Israel is the young generation of the black community in America.
Wow.
And I mean, she's applying it to probably black people in Israel, but that just means black people everywhere who are actually the children of the Most High.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the agenda right there.
Hey, absolutely. I agree 100%. But I'm going to close the show out by saying I am not going to let you or anyone else disrespect black people and support you for reason. I will not support any shambles, butt kissers, bootlickers, buck dancers, black folks. I would even risk my own life. And I say this to everybody. I had a glorious time in New York, and I'm going to continue to go when they call so I can spread this word. And trust me, I didn't hold them up. Some of them students still calling me today and said, good grief, I ain't never heard nobody talk like that. By golly gee whiz, who is you? I said, who is that masked man? And I said, it's going down. That's all I can say. Those are my words. It's going down. And I want to thank all my listeners. And listen, tomorrow, 1 o'clock, we will have another amazing show. Thank you all for listening. God bless.